You're listening to episode 316 of the 200 Churches Podcast.
Pastor, go out and do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Whatever size your church is, it is irrelevant. Because you know what? People only come one at a time. It's not like somebody walks in and there are 50 people.
Yeah, I got 10 of I got 10 of these 50 people. I got 500 people just walked in my church.
No, people only come one at a time. They come one at a time in the church of 20,000. Mm. They come one at a time in the church of 20. And you can only connect with one person at a time.
It's true.
Even Stephen Furtick can only connect and sit down and talk with one person at a time, personally. We're no different, no matter what size church we have. Yeah.
Welcome to the 200 Churches Podcast. We're passionate about providing ministry encouragement to pastors of small churches. We release a brand new episode every Wednesday to do just that for you, all of our small church pastor friends. Now, here are two guys who are definitely better together. Friends, pastors, and podcast partners, Jeff and Johnny.
This is the 200 Churches Podcast. My name is Jeff Cady. I am in my opulent and luxurious 200 Churches Podcast studio.
Oh, yeah.
Digitally with my good friend and podcast colleague.
Oh, colleague. I like that. Johnny Craig.
Johnny, good to see you. We've got the screens up.
Yes.
We can see each other. We're recording locally, high quality, digital audio. I tell you what, the 21st century is great, isn't it?
I've been saying to my my worship guy that we live in the future. Like, everything that we want to do, we can do for, like, not that much money. And it's crazy. Because the things that, you know, like a worship experience would cost tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars years ago. And you still could spend that. But you can do stuff so cheap now. We're living in the future. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, we are. I was listening to a podcast this morning where the lady had a guest on, and they were talking, and they were saying, oh, yeah, we were talking ahead of time before we hit record, and she was showing me her gardens. And the guest was in Australia, right? And this lady's, I don't know where she is, actually, somewhere here in the States. Oh, yeah, she was showing me her gardens, and they were referencing, you know, the gardens and this and that. And I thought,
yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, I just thought, man, you just couldn't do that, but we talk about that all the time. But we're just kind of thrilled because since we're not in the same building anymore, it's really helpful to be able to sit
absolutely
as though we're in the same building and have the conversation. Johnny,
absolutely.
I have not connected with you in, it seems like weeks. It seems like weeks.
I feel bad about it. I was reflecting on that, Jeff, and I thought, I'm the worst friend when it comes to this stuff.
I haven't either, though. Because
it's busy. Ministry's so busy.
We're just busy. And
yeah, it's crazy.
The pastors who are listening are busy. We're all caught in the swirl of busy.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to do. And for a lot of pastors who are listening, it's Lent. Not every church, you know, observes. My church, we observe Lent. There's a Lent series, and there's some different things that we're doing. I'm doing a Lent newsletter for the congregation. I'm doing these question and answer videos that come off the sermons. And I've just realized, I said to Suzanne, my lead pastor here, I said, I have, this is not a positive thing, but I said, I've filled up my life with urgent tasks. And then you're what? I mean, what is the tyranny of the urgent?
Don't tell your senior pastor that. Tell her you live in quadrant two. You only do the not urgent but very important stuff.
Yes, that's where I spend all my time. Not urgent but important.
Come on, Johnny, I'll back you up on that. I'll tell you, wait a minute, are we recording?
5 years of working with me, and you would lie like that to somebody. I appreciate that about you, Jeff.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah, oh, you know what, Johnny? You're not alone. I mean, we constantly have to fight that.
Yes, absolutely.
We constantly have to fight that. I was saying recently that leadership, and we're talking about leadership, right? Leadership is always uphill.
Yeah.
It's just always uphill. It's either the metaphor is either it's always uphill or it's like a speedboat. As soon as you let off on the throttle, there's no coasting. You just come to an immediate stop. There's no coasting.
Momentum is hard to get and hard to keep.
Can you go?
That's a Rich Birchism.
Can you go uphill on the water? Is there such a thing?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, right? You can't go.
I don't think water can be on. I mean, I think like a river can flow downhill, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose you could go up the falls, right? You'd have to be going up the falls.
There you go, yeah.
But
go up the falls.
So it's either uphill
it.
On land or it's on water, because on water you just don't get any coasting unless you're some kind of a sub-aquatic missile or something.
A hydrofoil, perhaps. Now, why are we talking about marine? That's ridiculous.
I don't. Who's marine?
What's become of us?
That's
I'm talking about marine automobiles. I don't boats. You know.
So anyway. Marine craft. There you go. Marine craft.
Thank you.
So, Johnny, you brought up something that we wanted to talk about today because since we don't get to visit with each other that much, we thought we're just gonna record a podcast episode together and make pretend it's like a phone call. That way we could check off, spent time with friend, recorded podcast episode both at the same time. So, but before we start that, let me just tell you, I'm having a blast with the 12 pastors that I'm coaching in this getting healthy journey that they're on.
Yeah,
it is
That's awesome, really fun.
There's a new pastor just started on Monday. And I've got pastors now that have lost more than 30 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's a blast. It's a blast. It's a lot of fun.
Jeff, I was on Facebook and I saw a side-by-side picture of you. Were you the one who put that up? Who put that up?
Dave Jacobs.
That's who it was. Dave Jacobs put it up.
Dave Jacobs asked me for it.
I couldn't believe that when I saw it. Oh, my goodness.
It's the truth, man. It's the truth.
I thought, what happened to my fluffy friend Jeff?
60 pounds, baby.
That's crazy.
60. Right? I've almost lost
That's
you.
That's crazy, man.
You're a little more than 60, but
maybe losing me was the catalyst to losing 60.
There you go. There you go. I'm telling you, it's just, it's like anything. If you experience something good in life, you just want to share it with other people.
Yeah.
And so it's so, but the cool thing for me is I get to get connected in a relationship with these other pastors.
Right.
And we're just starting now. I'm just figuring out some of the technology of it, but I'm just starting to get them connected to each other.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing. So, and
cool,
some of them are going all in and they're buying into the whole program. Others are buying into part of the program. And there's a few that aren't buying into the program at all, but they're participating in the habits of health.
Yeah.
We've got two of them that have spent very little money in terms of the food involved, but they've still lost 25 pounds.
That's amazing.
I guess just I want to say that for pastors out there who are thinking, well, I can't afford this. I mean, if I could afford it, about anybody can afford it, for one. All right. But if you don't want to afford it, you can still get into the community of people. And if you're motivated, you're going to get inspiration and encouragement. And anyway, so that's a lot of fun. But again, I'm getting connected with pastors. That's the fun part.
That's your heart right there, man. That's your heart.
That's really fun. But a few weeks ago, you made a comment, and I think, did I write it down and I repeated it to you?
I think you did.
Okay. You said something like, ministry is not about programs and curriculum. It's about communication and relationships.
Yes.
And that's a tweetable, right? That's a tweetable
Very tweetable, yes.
But you said it, and then you claim to have just come up with it off the top of your head.
As constructed, I did. I mean, because I was lamenting, I think, something that was going on or something that I'd heard about, and I said this in a an impassioned way, which is my my tendency to say things, and it was the first time that I think I had formulated. I think that's been something that I believe and that has informed my ministry. But it's classic, right? Like, it was just an organic thing in me, and I finally said it. And I've said it a lot since saying it to you that day. I've talked to different staff people here at the church about it, and I've talked to some elders about it. And that's actually really kind of, it's slowly forming into an ethos for me, I think, of how I want to approach ministry at this campus and at my church.
You know, some people will use the term ethos, culture, values, construct, model.
Yeah.
For us for so long, it was the boxes, right?
That's still there, though.
Right. So that's still there.
Yeah,
but now,
absolutely.
But now when you take, when you look at this, programs and curriculums, and then communication and relationships, we understand that with the boxes, relationships is actually one of the practices.
Right.
Right? So at the bottom, you got your purpose, which is love, and then the practices are relationship, service, and worship.
Right.
And then you got communication. Communication is all about relationships and love.
Absolutely.
So you've got the bedrock of the boxes into this. Now, where do programs and curriculum go? Not really anywhere in the boxes. I mean,
not necessarily.
They're just a helpful tool.
Exactly right. I think that so often within ministry, we turn the tool into the object. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we say, well, if I have the right tools, if I have the right classes, if I have the right coursework, if I have the right programs, and we fail to realize that those are just tools, and those cannot be our driving ideology in some way, right? Those can't be our driving guidepost in order to figure out what the future of our church is going to be. Obviously, everything that we do will be program oriented in some way, and much of what we do will have curriculum involved, whether that be a formalized curriculum that we like buy or just a curriculum that we are, you know, kind of inventing as we go, like small group discussion guides based on a sermon or something like that. But those things, again, I think when we put those at the front and say, if we have these programs and this curriculum, then people will grow spiritually and we will have a successful church and we will grow and we will develop, we've missed the point in some way. Because what we're really called to do is like be in relationships. And when I talk about communication, what I mean is helping our people understand who we are as a church and what we're about as a church and how they can be involved in what we're doing as a church. And that's the communication piece as I conceive of it.
It reminds me of the form over function issue, right? Right? People confuse form and function and they put the form over the function. And so it's not what's being accomplished. It's not what we're doing anymore. It's how we're doing it. And we stick with the how for so long that the what is like not even happening anymore. But we're in love with the how at the expense of the what. So,
absolutely.
You know, a worship service, right, is for mm-hmm. us to worship. And we do it the same way all the time. We do the how. This is how we do it. This is how we do it until how we does it actually prevents us from actually doing it anymore.
Right. Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
If we think in ministry that ministry is about programs and curriculum, programs being anything on the schedule on the back of your bulletin or wherever you might happen to mm-hmm. put it, and curriculum meaning anything from putting a sermon series together to, you know, what you use in your Sunday school or small groups, because those all come with graphics, right? We like graphics. You know, we spend a lot of time with our graphics and our logos and our font style, and you know, it's got to look cutting edge, and you know, all that kind of stuff. It's got to have excellence for us older people, and
yeah.
You know, and it's got to be flat and simple for younger people, but that's, you know, that's really not much to do with ministry, right? Because you could do ministry without any of that.
That's exactly right. And I think if you're a pastor and you're listening and you're saying, I'm trying to figure out, am I program driven or am I relationship driven? Am I curriculum driven or am I communication driven? Think about a ministry area in your church and think about what if you suggested that you stop whatever curriculum you're using for that currently and bring in a different type of curriculum. Would that cause drama? Would that cause stress? Would that cause consternation? If so, then you might be in a situation where you've got curriculum now out in front of communication and relationships, and you're being driven now by your curriculum and your programming instead of being driven by your mission to people. Do you know what I'm saying, Jeff? I can think of examples, but I'm not sure how much I should say because I don't want to, like, you know, put things on blast. But I think every church has these places where our curriculum has become the thing in and of itself. And as a pastor, Jeff, you hear this all the time. How many times do you get an email? Do you get a person in your church coming up to you? Do you get a promotional piece of information at a conference telling you that if you just adopt this program with this curriculum, all of a sudden your discipleship is going to take off. All of a sudden your da-da-da is going to take off. I mean, you see that all the time, don't you?
Hey, just this morning I got an email from Emotionally Healthy Spirituality.
Yeah.
Pete and I forget his
Scazzaro
wife's name.
Scazzaro,
yeah. And they're coming out with Emotionally Healthy Discipleship.
Yeah.
And it's a whole deal.
I'm sure it's great.
I pre-ordered it. And the reason why is that part of our vision as a church is we want to become a healing place.
Absolutely.
And I've had a relationship now with Emotionally Healthy stuff for, you know, 15 years or however long they've been doing it.
Yeah.
And I know that kind of a thing, but that's a tool. Yes. That's a tool. The ministry is Jesus healed people and Jesus heals. And we want to be a place where people find healing. So that's the ministry. That's
right.
The purpose. The practice might be, well, we're going to use this particular curriculum for a season.
Right.
The purpose will remain and the practices will change. And interesting that with our boxes, the bottom line of love is purpose.
It's
and then
the
next lineup is practices.
I was listening to a podcast recently. Is this plagiarism? If I just tell something that I heard on another podcast, and
well,
say, if I say that I heard it on the podcast.
You should say the podcast so that other people can maybe go and listen to it.
I was listening to Rich Birch on Seminary Podcast.
Oh, don't, yeah, let's don't give him any credit. No, Rich Birch.
Forget
it's just
you,
all
Rich.
Business and marketing and materialism.
That's very true.
Even though we had him as a guest one time, right? He did an awesome job.
He's a good guy. Rich Birch is like medicine for me. I hate
Seminary podcast.
Have you ever taken a cough syrup and thought, that was one, what a great experience. I loved that. No. For
Usually
me, that's
sometimes
Rich
it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
For me, Rich Birch is like, that tastes terrible. I don't like that, but I need it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but there you go, Rich. Anyway, I was listening to Greg Curtis, another guest that we've had on and we need to have on again. And I was listening to Greg Curtis on the Unseminary podcast.
Yeah,
and
I heard the
talking
same
about,
one. It was good.
He was talking about
good.
Like these groups, right, that they have. My understanding while I was listening was it was like new members or get to know our church or something like that kind of a group. And he said that they've had to learn that the environment makes all the difference, that how they put these people together and the way that they get them in a room sharing with each other is actually more important than the content of the class. He says we used to think we need to get them in and give them this content. And he's like, now we realize we need to get them in and connect. And they're going to pick up the content one way or the other. But our church is about connection. So that's what we want them to do in this class. And I was like, ding, 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 ding. Like the lights are going off,
yeah.
Right? Like, because that's exactly what we're talking about. Sure, you still need a gathering place. Sure, you still need content. Absolutely. But what's the driver? The driver is getting people into relationship with each other, getting people communicating with one another. And then you communicate the values of your church without saying a word. People are having fun and they're connecting with each other. That's a value right there. You don't have to tell them, we at this church believe in having fun and connecting with each other. They're doing it. They know that that's the case. And so you can communicate without having to just like beat them over the head with a curriculum.
So let's encourage our listeners. The Unseminary podcast, Greg Curtis, Curtis
like
with a C. Yeah, you really should listen to it. So we've had Greg Curtis on our podcast. We've had Rich Birch on our podcast. But you and I now have both listened to both of them on Rich's podcast.
Yeah.
And we're enriched by it. Because
Absolutely.
It was good stuff. So if you haven't listened to it, you need to listen to that episode. I mean, you can't afford you'd be crazy not to listen to that.
I'm going to send it to my assimilation team.
In fact, don't listen to another 200 Churches podcast episode until episode. It's
Turn
so good.
Turn this garbage off and go listen to that. No.
It's so good. And so, Johnny, I was going to send you the document that Greg Curtis gives out
right.
in his Climbing the Assimilaeas website. You've already got it, and you've already given it to your guy, right?
Yes,
and
I
so, I mean, that's perfect. But so any of us can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Any of us can do it. So we're in the process of adding additional staff.
Okay.
And I had a person in my office who has done HR for 20 years. And I gave them two job descriptions that I had just downloaded from somewhere else. I actually know the people that put them together. Wasn't completely blind. But they're way overkill. I mean, they're like for a church of 5,000, basically.
Yeah.
But I just told this person, hey, just call out of that. Give me a rough draft of what you think the job description should end up being for this position, and then give me something to work with. It's the same way in a smaller church. You can take stuff that's for bigger churches, because if it's for bigger churches, it's for smaller churches too. You just have to learn the discipline of right-sizing it,
yes.
you know, for your
right.
church. Because, you know, whether your church is 50, 500, or 1,000, it doesn't matter if you're taking something that from a church of 20,000.
Right.
We're all a lot smaller than a church of 20,000.
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, start, even if it's a little bigger, start with that, and you can benefit from
it. Yeah.
So, Johnny, let's talk about this communication and relationships for a minute.
Yeah.
Programs and curriculum, we understand what those are.
Yes.
And those can be the urgent sometimes because programs usually have a schedule to them. And curriculum has content that we have to absorb, you know, before we share it.
Right.
So let's talk about communication. You said that you were talking about how as church leaders, we communicate with our people.
Yeah.
Are you narrowing it to that, or is that one aspect of communication? Tell me what you were thinking when you said communication and relationships.
I think what I was thinking about, so I was probably thinking about a specific program area within the church, okay? And saying, okay, within this program area, and so let's call it small groups, okay? Within the small groups program area, are we in it and are we following the curriculum? Or are we somehow, is that the highest priority, that we would follow curriculum, that we would, you know, hit these steps, that we would da-da-da-da-da, go through alpha, whatever it is? Or is the highest priority that we are communicating the values of our church with the people who have decided to gather, right? For every church, there's going to be similar but different values, you know, obviously. And so for our church, where I am, I can use this as an example. One of our values is relationships with community organizations. So we don't try to reinvent the wheel. If there's something good happening at the school, we want to go join the school in doing that good thing, which is Kingdom Conspiracy Guy. I can't think of what his name was.
Yeah, I'll think of it in a minute, and I'll just blurt
Perfect.
It out.
So anyway, he's been on...
Reggie McNeil.
Reggie McNeil. He's been on the podcast, and he talks about this, right? And so how do we, in the small group program area, instead of saying, this curriculum will be the thing that gets people involved. How do we do the curriculum? Sure. But how do we, within that, make sure that we're always casting vision and communicating the values of our church? Because that will help people, in my opinion, connect with an identity as members of a church who is active and involved in their community. If we're going to use community involvement as, you know, the value that I would like communicated in small groups. And then when the opportunity comes for their small group to get involved in something, it's not like, hey, the curriculum says now we should serve. Instead, it's like, hey, remember how we as a church value this stuff? And like, you've decided to take on the identity as a member of a church that values this stuff. Doesn't it just make sense that we would go do this now? And people say, heck yeah, that makes sense. That's what my church does. That's what you're supposed to do. And then they'll get involved in serving opportunities. And do you see the difference between saying the curriculum says we need to do an hour worth of service with each other versus the community or the communication of your church and of the program has communicated that you value community engagement through, you know, these partnerships with organizations. And now you're going to say, oh, here's an easy way. We're going to do a Habitat for Humanity build. Well, of course I'll go do that, you know, because that's what we value. I mean, does that make sense, Jeff?
Yeah, you're kind of talking about vision casting, but you're also sure. talking about culture creating,
yep.
right? You're creating a culture. And one of the things that, you know, I'm struggling with is to develop systems
yeah.
that will run so foolproof that they will help to create the culture.
Yeah, that's hard work.
Right? This is the system, and this is how we do it. So, Johnny, you and I were talking about this, so let's just talk about it, because we were talking before we recorded, and I said, man, too bad we just didn't push record, because that was a really good conversation.
It was great for me. Nobody else needs to hear it. I appreciate it.
One of the things we talked about was getting the right people in the right positions and in the right yeah. jobs. And not, when I say people, I don't mean staff. I don't even mean ministry leaders. I mean volunteers. Mm-hmm. Volunteers. So somebody shows up at your church and you find out that they're in this occupation. And you say to yourself, okay, then what could that person do in the family of believers here that would align with their giftedness
right.
and with their experience?
Right.
And what could they do? And so is there an area that I know has been screaming out for attention? And we were talking about assimilation.
Yeah.
Just so happens, you and I hadn't pre-talked about this at all, but we are both mm-hmm. forming teams in our church to address the process of assimilation
right.
in our churches.
Yeah.
And so we talked about how we're looking for people that are project managers, they're managers, they're administrators in their jobs. They already, you know, take things from point A to point M, and they fill in all the letters and all the steps in between. Those are the kind of people that need, and even if I did that, or you did that, We still want other people
Absolutely.
To be involved in it.
Yes.
Because we want that system to be created at the lowest level possible within the church so that it gets immediately baked right into the culture so that you don't sit down and spend 8 hours putting together this fantastic system. And then you sit down with your leaders and say, hey, here's what we're going to do. They don't have any ownership in it. It is not as good as if eight lay people who did similar stuff for a living sat down and concocted it together and went back and forth on it together and made it really good.
Absolutely.
Just, you know, enhancing each other's work.
I'm with you 100%, Jeff. I'm with you 100%. And I'm fleshing all this out on the fly, right? But I would say that that even
Well, that's our podcast, right?
Yes.
Flesh it out on the fly.
But that even flows into this, you know, programs and curriculum versus relationships and communication. Because programs and curriculum are staff-driven, right? Staff chooses, staff dictates. You know what I'm saying? Staff leads volunteers in X, Y, and Z. Here's your lesson plan. Here's this. I think what you do so beautifully and what I have loved watching you do at your church now, Community Heights, is your relational nature is helping involve people in the life of the church in ways that they never knew they could be involved. You're a natural connector. You want to know where somebody works and what they do. And then you hear that and you think, wow, that person could really serve God in X, Y, and Z ways. And so it's the relationship that is driving the momentum now of your assimilation team, is that you had relationships with people and now you're putting them together with others to have relationships and to communicate this value with each other. And on the other end of that, what will they come up with? Some sort of program, some sort of curriculum, but it's not driven. You didn't say, here's the assimilation. And this is, I'm still learning this, Jeff. Sometimes I still say, I just want Greg Curtis to hand me a book that says, this is the assimilation process. Here it is. And if you do bop, 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 you'll have a perfect process. It doesn't work that way, though. This has to come out of unique relationships and unique cultural communication within your church context to turn into a program and curriculum that will actually reflect the values of who you are. And so Greg Curtis can't do that work for you. You can only get to that work relationally and by communicating the vision and the values of your church.
I couldn't say it better myself, Johnny. I really couldn't. So, but what you're talking about is communicating vision, communicating values,
Absolutely.
Communicating culture,
yes.
and communicating heart.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Bullet point that, baby, because that's exactly what I'm talking about communicating.
Well, I am going to quote Bill Hybels on this, okay? I am going to quote Bill Hybels.
That's a bold move there, bud.
He did some wonderful things in his life, and I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but one of the things he always said was that vision leaks. Mm. And I thought, that's such a great metaphor. Yeah. You know, it's like the birthday balloons that are on the table.
Yep.
And nobody, you know, or like in Sunday school, they'll bring in balloons and they'll put it on a table, and then nobody comes into the room for a week. And you go in, and they're all hanging off the edge of the table by their strings, yes. you know, almost onto the floor. Vision is like that.
Yeah.
Culture can be like that. Values can be like that. Because a vision is all of that. Heart can be like that. If we don't communicate it, it's just going to leak out. It's going to evaporate after a while, and then it's what fills its place. Every man for himself.
Yeah, dude.
Whatever. Jane thinks, whatever Steve thinks, whatever, you know, Johnny thinks, whatever Jeff thinks, and whoever's got the rudest demeanor or the loudest voice in the room is going to win the day.
Well,
and
ironically,
we never want that.
The programs and the curriculum that are in place when the vision is all leaked out will be in place forever. You see what I'm saying? Like, those things that were in place when the vision runs out, have fun trying to replace those when you show up to the church.
Because there's no reason
10 years
to.
Later, right. Because they don't have any, like, there's not going to be any concept of, like, why would we have to change this? Like, this is who we are and this is who we've been. And you're saying, no. So, the vision drives those decisions.
So let me give a push for something that we did last year. We worked with The Unstuck Group, theunstuckgroup.com, and Tony Morgan and his crew. And what they've done since we started working with them a little over a year ago is they've moved into this phase where they're trying to right-size the pricing so that all churches can access what they do and can get help. So their staff is all over the country.
Yeah.
By the way, this isn't a promo. This isn't a commercial. We're not getting money from them.
I know.
It'd be nice, but we're not. But I just want to say, I want to put a plug in for them. If you've not listened to the Unstuck Church podcast, oh my goodness, there's so much good stuff. And
well, what did Tony Morgan tell us? You can get all of their content for free if you have the time to piece it together.
Yeah. No, you can. You can. But if you want to connect with them, they'll try to right size the pricing and give you the service that you need at your size of a church. The reason I bring that up is because of what I wanted to say. The best thing I've ever done in ministry is to put together a vision for the church. Mm. I didn't put it together. I say I put together. I created the situation where it happened.
Yeah.
And the church was wise enough to use people who do this with hundreds of churches every day of the year. And now that we have this vision, I've never been in a church in my 32 years of ministry. I've never been in a church that really understood its vision like I'm in right now. And it takes care of so much.
Sure.
You're talking about staffing, you're talking about programming, you're talking to a new person that says, what's your church about? I mean, you don't have to hem and haw. Well, you know, we're for the community. Well, what do you mean by that? Now, we put together a vision that is detailed, that is specific, that is both inspirational and aspirational. Yeah. I mean, it's inspiring to me, and it's something that I aspire to become and to do with our church. That is so helpful. So when we're talking about communication and how do we breathe life and vision and energy into our ministry leaders, if you have a vision for your church, that's a great first start.
Yes.
You know, you talked about a value of relationships with organizations in the community.
Right.
You know, when you do your vision, you know, you come up with those types of things.
Right.
And then they're directional for you. They guide you in the direction you need to
go
in all of these areas. What else? Anything else about communication, Johnny? So ministry is communication.
And relationship. Oh, yeah. No, I think that's about all I had. On that same podcast with Greg Curtis and Rich Birch, Rich had this little aside about how you talk about like launching small groups. And basically he was like,
you could
say we're launching small groups and nobody cares. It's crickets, right? Like, oh, we're launching a program, la-di-da. And he said, but what if you communicate, you know, why you're launching small groups? What's the vision behind it? People connecting with God and each other, people having an opportunity to grow deeper in their faith. He said, now that's got some wheels to it. So that just goes back to the whole thing. Communication, man. It's not about the program. It's about communication. It's not about the curriculum. It's about communication.
I could take you to the spot in my house where I was when he said it. People in your church, they don't care that you're doing this big small group launch and you get up and announce it. We're launching small groups. They don't really care about
Meanwhile, we had just done that, and I was like, oh, great.
Right. I know. They care about relationships and being around other people.
What's it mean for me?
Getting encouraged.
Yeah. What's it mean for me?
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. That's good. Okay, so relationships. If it's not about programs and curriculum, it's about communication and relationships.
Yeah.
Is it self-evident? Is relationships self-evident, or is there more to it?
I think it is. I mean, it's mostly self-evident, but that is the stickiest thing about your church, is relationships. If people are coming to your church and connecting with each other, then they won't leave. They won't leave. And it's not just about getting people to not leave. This isn't the Church Growth Podcast, okay? But it is about getting people to connect with God and connect with others. This is where the boxes are super helpful, Jeff, because we know that relationships with other people are part of spiritual growth, right? Spiritual growth is an outcome of relationships with other people. And so if you are thinking again about getting people into a room so that they can download information from your program and curriculums, then you're missing the boat. Because what you really want to get them into a room to do is get to know each other and share some life with each other and share some experiences with each other so that when the time comes that they're called into service and to called into the kingdom of God ministry that God is preparing for them even as we speak, that they have a community around them who will carry them into that and undergird them while they're doing that ministry.
Because if you thought about your church absent relationships, you know, well, you know, we have sermons and we have classes, we have music and we have artwork and we've got a building and we've got vehicles and we've got a schedule and a calendar and activities and events. A lot of us think about our church like that.
Jeff, right? Jeff, think about college.
As leaders.
You went to college. Think about college. Think about college.
I love college.
And think about your most indelible memories of college. Think about even today, you, your best friend in the world who you met in college, and think about the indelible memories that you have from college. How many of those indelible memories are from a lecture that you sat through in college?
Zero.
Yeah. How many about relationships? How many are about the environment? How many are about the experience that you had with others in relationship?
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, all
right?
of them.
All of them.
Your sermons can be great, Pastor. It does not matter if your people are not in relationship.
I remember getting those long garment bags from the dry cleaners. And one night, a bunch of us from our dorm went out, and we got those little, really, really skinny dowels that you'll find in kites. And we did. We made the X, right? The X dowel on the bottom, and we put it at the bottom of the garment bag.
Okay.
So we stretched out the bottom of the garment bag, and where the two dowels crossed, Jeff Wagner put this little tin foil cup, and then he put cotton balls in it, and he put lighter fluid on the cotton balls. Okay, so we're all standing around this garment bag. We're holding it out, right, like a balloon. It's basically, it's a hot air balloon. And he lit the cotton balls in the tinfoil cup that was on the intersection of the dowels, and it started to fill this bag up with hot air, with just a little hole at the top where the hanger goes out, right, that was letting a little bit out. But as it filled up, it started to rise, and we all let go of it, and it rose into the Pennsylvania sky, the starlit sky, and we set off six or seven of those, and they flew up until we could see the little flame, until they were just out of sight and they were gone. That was like the biggest deal. That was the biggest deal. And we literally decided one night, we're going to do a whole bunch of these. We're going to set them off at the end of campus. We all got in our cars, and we had this big processional in our cars across campus, just like the space shuttle had this processional out to the launching pad,
oh,
right? And we launched all these balloons. But this was a fun activity,
yep.
But we were doing it together.
Yeah.
If I would have done it by myself, I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the wrestling matches in between the dorms. You know, they were big events. They were big events. They were all fake. It was all phony wrestling. We weren't really getting hurt. Because it was what we saw on TV, right? But we were doing it together. We were having fun.
That's a great picture.
Relationships. Relationships are so important. So, and as professional ministers of the gospel, and as church CEOs and administrators, sometimes we forget about the relationships.
Yeah, we do.
And people are coming into church. You know what I do sometimes in the middle of the week? I'll go out to my lobby, and I'll walk from one of the doors. I won't actually go outside, but where the doors come in, I'll kind of walk from there, and I'll walk into the auditorium, and I'll sit some random spot. And I'll just sit there, and I'll look around, and I'll think, what if I didn't really know God, but my life was hell, and I needed help? And I just decided, well, I'm just going to go to church because I know a few people, and it's probably what I should do, and I'm going to sit down. If there's a person like that this Sunday that's coming in and sitting down, what do they need to hear? Mm. What do they need to experience?
That's the question.
And what are they looking for? What are their wants and needs? Because real people are coming into our churches. I don't care what size your church is.
Yeah.
You know, you could have 10 people in a living room and somebody invites a friend. That's a real person who's coming in and plopping down in your easy chair, and their life is hell. You know, they've got all. There's loss. There's grief. There's struggle. There's temptation. What do people need?
Yep.
They need somebody to sit down next to them. That's what they need. They need somebody to say, "Hey, how's it going?"
Yeah, man.
It's relationships.
Relationships.
They don't need to know which wife of Jacob Joseph was born to, right? They don't need to know how many wives Jacob had,
right,
or how many tribes there are in Israel. That can come later. That can come later because that's interesting.
That's funny.
But they need Jesus with skin on, right? To quote our friend Jan, they need Jesus with skin on to sit down next to them. And so do our adult volunteers. So do our Sunday school teachers and our youth workers. They need pastors who can sit down next to them and say, hey, how are you doing? Oh, you mean how's youth group going? No. How are you doing? Yeah. How are you doing? Because that's relationships, and that communicates.
Mm. Jeff, I'm fired up. I'm fired up now. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to run through a wall, a ministry wall.
I heard somebody say that sometimes. Some like fired up and ready to go.
Fired up, ready to go, huh?
I don't remember who that was.
I can't place it.
Oh, man. So, Pastor, you're listening, and hopefully we have stirred up the waters. You know, it's that mud puddle and all the mud sitting at the bottom, and it looks clear until you stir it up with your stick. You ever do that, Johnny, when you were a little kid?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah, yeah.
You know, stir it up, and all this stuff kind of. Hopefully we've stirred the waters of your heart.
I hope so.
Thinking about ministry and, you know, why were you called?
Mm.
Why were you called? What were you thinking about when you first got into ministry? And what has crusted over your heart, the jadedness of the crustedness of crappy ministry? I don't know how else to put it. You know, stuff happens, you know, stuff hits the fan and you can get jaded and you can get frustrated. Johnny, I remember a few years ago, and that was you and to a great degree me, just because of one situation that you were thinking about probably earlier that you don't want to talk about.
Yep, for sure.
You know, but because we get fixated on the wrong thing.
Yep.
It was never about that, but it was always about relationships.
Yep, always.
And it was always about communication, because there is no relationship without communication.
Yeah, man. Mm.
So, Pastor, go out and do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Whatever size your church is, that it is irrelevant, because you know what? People only come one at a time. It's not like somebody walks in and there are 50 people.
Yeah, I got 10 of them. I got 10 of these 50 people. I got 500 people just walked in my church.
No, people only come one at a time. They come one at a time in the church of 20,000. Mm. They come one at a time in the church of 20. And, you know, you can only connect with one person at a time.
It's true.
Even, you know, even Stephen Furtick can only connect and sit down and talk with one person at a time, personally. We're no different, no matter what size church we have.
Yeah.
So get excited about changing the people in your church.
I love it. I love it, man. Well, Jeff, thank you for indulging me in the communication and relationships idea that I've been rolling around lately. I will never forget the way that the boxes became such a guiding idea for you and I. And this is similar in some ways, I think, because the more I talk about it and the more I flesh it out, the more deeply it resonates with my soul. So, anyway, thank you, Jeff, and thank you to our listeners. We love you guys very much, and I hope that you know that we care about you, and we are so glad that you listen and get something out of this podcast, and we'll see you next week here at the 200 Churches Podcast.
My name is Angela, and I want to thank you for listening to this episode. If you haven't already, you should subscribe to our weekly email at 200churches.com and to the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You know it. We'll be back next week with another amazing and encouraging episode just for you. Until then, may God bless you as you lead and love His church.
I embedded a video in a MailChimp and it didn't work. So now there's just a line that says scripture video from 310 with nothing underneath it.
Ugh. For me, it was a great message, and
that's the worst.
I know,
part,
I know.
That's the worst.
We're not going to use this as an outtake. I'll tell you that right now.
All right, okay. I'll say it. You're listening to episode 316 of the 200 Churches Podcast.
Great.
Finito.
Let me just. I was looking because I think that.
Oh, brother, where art thou? Okay. Yeah, exactly.
There ever was one.
Oh, man.
Did you stop your recording?
Not yet, Aaron.
Okay.
One, two, three, stop.